Good afternoon and good evening to everyone. At this time, we'd like to welcome everyone to today's teleconference and remind participants that your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's program. At that time, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Again, for any questions, that'll be star 1 on your touch-tone phone. We'd also like to remind all participants that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections to that, you would disconnect at this time. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to your first speaker today, Mr. Gary Browns. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you. Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining us for tonight's National Kidney Foundation's Coffee House Conversations. Tonight, we're going to be talking about communicating with your healthcare team, programs being funded by Boehringer Ingelheim Pharmaceuticals, and it's the third topic in a three-part series that's called Diabetes, Your Actions Can Make a Difference. So with us tonight, we have Donna Zaworski. Donna's a senior registered nurse who is a vice president for community health and continuum care at Carondelet Health Network in Arizona, and she's also an associate professor for the University of Arizona College of Nursing. And Donna works closely with people who have diabetes and people who are at risk for diabetes. She helps the patients learn about diabetes and how they can manage their health. And Ms. Zaworski is also an author of many books and articles on the subject. And we're also going to be hearing from Doug. And Doug has type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And tonight he's going to share a little bit about his own experience with this healthcare team. The call is going to be about an hour and a half long, and together the two speakers are going to talk for about 30 minutes. And then after that, we'll give you guys a chance to ask questions and share your own thoughts. And right now, everyone's phones are muted, so unless you're a speaker, when it's time to open up the discussions for your questions, we'll tell you how you can do that. I'd also like to remind everyone that the information we're going to discuss tonight is general information. The messages about communicating your healthcare professionals are consistent with information from the National Institutes of Health. If you have specific concerns about your own health, you should talk to them with your doctor. Now, what I'd like to do is just introduce our first speaker for the evening. This is Doug. Doug, how you doing? Thanks for joining us tonight.
I'm doing fine, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Doug, and I live in South Carolina, and I was diagnosed with diabetes about 39 years ago. At that time, I was having problems with high blood pressure. I was seeing a doctor for the high blood pressure, and I happened to mention to my doctor that I stayed thirsty all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me, was I going to the bathroom often? And I said, to come to think of it, I can't pass up a water fountain or a bathroom. And these are a couple of symptoms for diabetes. So the doctor ran a blood test that showed I had type 2 diabetes. I knew that there was a history of diabetes in my family. On my mother's side, her father and all of her brothers had diabetes. And my father was diagnosed with diabetes when he was in his 60s. My doctor put me on a special diet, and I was able to control my diabetes with the diet for about 10 to 15 years. Then my blood glucose levels started creeping up, and I was put on oral medication. Eventually, I needed to go on to insulin. During the years I've lived with diabetes, I've also developed heart problems. I had to have a stress test, and the results weren't good. So I had a heart catheterization. Before I knew it, I was having a triple bypass. About 10 years later, I had another bypass surgery, so I've had two major heart surgeries in my lifetime, and I've also had a pacemaker put in because of some heart rhythm problems. And when you have diabetes, there's a good chance that you're going to need several healthcare professionals to be involved in managing your care. In my case, I see a primary care physician, which takes care of the general things like colds and what have you, but I have my specialist that I see to send him reports so he can be abreast with my overall health, too. I see an eye doctor for my background retinopathy. I've had laser surgery in both eyes. I have a respiratory specialist because I have sleep apnea. I also have two different endocrinologists, one regular endocrinologist, which helps me manage my blood sugar, and the other to manage my blood lipids. Since I have a pacemaker now, I see two heart specialists on a regular basis, one for the heart rhythm and pacemaker, and one for the heart disease. I also see a nephrologist about every 6 months who watches my kidneys because I am having protein in the urine. My endocrinologist recommended that I start seeing him. Most of my doctors have a nurse or nurse practitioner that gets health information before the doctor comes in to see me. She looks for anything that I've concerned that I've got or any changes in my health since my last visit, so she could fill in the doctor on my condition before he comes in. In the past, I've used to see dietitian, but to me, dietitian is not necessary anymore. Since I've been living with diabetes for 39 years, and I am knowledgeable in what I can and cannot eat. I have managed to see multiple health specialists. I've always had to manage seeing the different specialists. One of the first things that I have is a calendar. We keep a calendar with a monthly calendar so we can record all of our appointments to make sure we don't miss any appointments or double book. For me, one thing that helps when I go to my appointments is to take my wife with me to my health care appointments. I believe it's really important for me because two sets of ears are better than one. As we get older, our memories are not as good as they used to be. So having my wife go with me is helpful in many ways. She helps me remember what the doctor said. We both listen to what the doctor says, and afterwards we compare notes. This helps us to decipher what the doctor said. She helps me by speaking up and reminding me if I've forgotten something that I needed to mention to the doctor. In fact, one of my cardiologists, he tells me that he won't see me unless my wife comes along. he said you've got to bring your wife because to make sure that you're getting a straight answer out of you. This year we are celebrating our 46th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My wife is a retired school teacher, and I don't know what I'd do without her. I've told her you got to stay healthy because I can't lose my nurse.
I think you're a lucky man.
So some of my doctors I email my blood pressure and blood sugar readings to. On occasion, and I call them if I've got a concern, and they call me if they've got a concern. Another thing I do is I keep a running record of all of my medical procedures that I've had since I was diagnosed with diabetes. This includes surgeries, tests, and other procedures. It's hard to remember them and the dates without a list. I believe keeping track of these is very important, especially to me. You have multiple things when you have multiple things going on. It's best to record them. Otherwise, it's easy to forget surgeries and other procedures and when you had them. In fact, I keep a file on my computer for this purpose. And every time I have a medical procedure, I write it down and I add it to the list. I've tried to limit my list to one page, but it's almost 2 pages long now. Having this record of my medical history is helpful in many ways. I can take it with me when I travel. I also bring it to my different health care appointments in case they ask me about when I had a procedure done. I also keep a list of all of my medications and what time of day that I take them on a spreadsheet on my computer. I feel it's very important to keep track of all my medications because I take so many of them. I want to make sure that I don't have any reactions or any of my medications, or one medication might interfere with another. So if my doctor wants me to change a medication, I make sure that I check with the other doctors first. A few years back, I had a doctor that did the pacemaker wanted me to change one of my blood pressure medicines. But I told her before I changed it, I needed to check with my other cardiologist first. I don't know if I irritated her a little by saying that, but she may have thought I was questioning her. But I feel it's me that's taking the medicines, so I wanted to make sure that there wasn't a problem if I changed to one of them, or it would cause another medication to become ineffective. In this instance, my cardiologist called me back and said, yes, it's fine to take this medication, but even so, I was glad that I checked first, because in the end, I want to make sure that all of my medicines that I take do what they should. This happened again this past week when I saw both of my endocrinologists. One of them wanted to change one of my blood pressure medicine because the new blood pressure medicine he was recommending was to help with glucose metabolism. The blood pressure medicine that I'm taking is for my help with my heart rhythm control. So I will be checking with my cardiologist before I switch. I think it is important to ask questions and speak up when you need to. I am always asking my doctors what's coming down the pike for me and what does this mean for me, and is there anything new that I should know about. If I don't understand something, I ask a question. They use medical words that I'm unfamiliar with. I ask, what does that mean? If they suggest a new test or procedure, I will ask about that too. What are the risks, the side effects, and how many times has this test or procedure been done? I also use my computer at home to look up information so I can understand some of the medical procedures. But I only use websites that I trust, like the National Kidney Foundation, American Diabetes Foundation, and American Heart Association. In closing, I'd like to share the last thought. Talking to your healthcare professional is just something that I've done all my life. I've been living with diabetes since I was 27 years old, and I'm 66 now. So I've been dealing with it for 39 years. To be honest, until recently, I know I haven't really sat down and asked myself what's the best way to go about communicating with my doctor, because to me it's just been something that I've learned to do over the years, and I've had a lot of practice at it for the past 39 years, and I suppose I've gotten good at it. But I realize that there's a lot more to have good communications than I really thought about before now. So I think that's where this program can be really helpful for me and for anyone else who is listening tonight, and hope my story will help to give them a personal take on the subject. I believe it is important to have a doctor you feel comfortable with. For me, a part of feeling comfortable is good communication. And I thank you so much.
Doug, thank you very much for sharing your story. That was really great to hear from you. And I know it's not easy talking about yourself, but you told this story very, very well. And I know I told you this once before when we spoke earlier, that this is all helpful for all of our listeners out there. So thanks again. What I'd like to do now is just turn the call over to our clinical expert, who is Donna Zaworski. And Donna, we're so glad to have you here with us tonight. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Gary, and I'd like to thank Doug again for sharing his story. I'm a nurse. I'm a community nurse for over 33 years now, and I have worked in intensive care. I've worked as a community nurse case manager for over a decade, so I've had a wealth of experience. Personally, my mother and three of my aunts passed away from complications of diabetes, so I am very concerned about diabetes and how well we can help manage our diabetes and help prevent some of the complications that happen. So I'm very happy to be here, and I'm just so happy that I can share some of this information and some of the experience that I've had working with people with diabetes.
Well, that's great. Thanks again for joining us, and let me start with this question. Why is it difficult for some people to talk to their doctor or for other members of their health care team, for that matter, in fact, and what are some of the barriers that stand in the way?
Gary, that's a great question. There are so many things that get in the way of good communication with your health care provider. I'd like to begin by describing some of these things, and then I'll talk about some ways to help overcome them. One reason that people find it difficult to share information with their doctor is they feel that they have a time limitation on their visit, and that's true. There is a very specific time limitation for that visit. They're given a certain amount of time to see that doctor, and it's unavoidable, but it can make some people feel anxious or rushed or uncomfortable. Or worse, someone might feel worried that if the doctor is too busy or doesn't have enough time to answer their questions, then they don't want to bother them. So I'm going to talk about some things that you can do to help you overcome some time limitations later in this talk. Another barrier is language. If English is your second language, it can be very difficult to understand your doctor's instructions. It can be hard to read labels on your medication bottles or even understand your blood sugar values. Yet all of these things are important enough for those of you who speak English fluently. So imagine if you didn't speak English and how uncomfortable it would feel. Cultural differences are also important. Our cultural beliefs, traditions, values, and attitudes about health practices can affect how we communicate and understand and respond to health information. For example, in one study, many Hispanic people said that they were hesitant to approach their doctors with health concerns because they did not want to worry the doctor or their own family members. And then, of course, as a healthcare provider, I'm guilty too, we use medical jargon. People in the health profession, we have our own vocabulary that we communicate with each other, and sometimes we forget that we're using these unfamiliar words or acronyms that you might not understand. Medical words can always be explained to you in plain language, so it is up to you to speak up and ask for explanation.
Oh, thanks, Donna. And what if you feel ashamed to speak up or ask for an explanation? Like, for example, what if a doctor has poor reading skills or if I don't speak English very well, or if I have hearing or vision problems, or even a poor memory?
Boy, I know what you're talking about, Gary, and this is a problem for so many people. First, you need to understand you are not alone. You should not feel ashamed or embarrassed if you have problems of this kind. In fact, according to the National Assessment of Adult Literacy, only 12% of adults in this country have the skills they need to manage their health and prevent disease. In other words, nearly 9 out of 10 adults lack these skills. That's quite a lot of people.
So in other words, what you're saying is that most adults have problems managing their health due to things like poor reading skills, language, other barriers.
That's correct. People with poor reading skills or similar problems often report that they're ashamed of it. They feel embarrassed or stigmatized. As a result, they might hesitate to speak up or tell the doctor that they don't understand something. So the doctor assumes the patient understands it, when in fact that's not the case. If you have problems reading labels on a pill bottle, understanding appointment slips, filling out forms or other paperwork, or remembering things like when to take your medicine, tell your doctor. All of us, even healthcare professionals, can find it overwhelming at times. And if you have diabetes, remember, it's a lot to manage over a long period of time. It's not something that you take care of today and you can forget about tomorrow. It is every day, all the time. So you need to cope with complex treatment plans, monitoring changes in your health report, reporting those changes to your doctor, and in between all of that, you're fitting in healthy behaviors in your lifestyle. This is a lot for anyone, and you should never feel ashamed or embarrassed to ask your doctor to repeat instructions, explain what a word means, or ask the doctor to talk more slowly.
Is Donna safe to assume that some people find it more difficult than others to talk to their doctors?
Yes. Some people find communication that much harder, especially people who are over 60, are perhaps from ethnic or racial minorities, if they've immigrated to the United States from another country, if they didn't finish high school or have a low income, or have other health problems or illnesses, including diabetes and high blood pressure. We know that education, language, age, culture, and access to financial resources are all factors that affect a person's ability to communicate with healthcare professionals. But I also might add, as it mentioned earlier, it's 9 out of 10 people that have this health literacy. So it could be anybody that just doesn't understand a certain health area that you need to speak up.
Yeah, so clearly there's a lot of barriers. So how do you get past them? How do you get past the barriers? What are some of the things that a patient can do, especially if they're having some of the problems that you just mentioned?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that, because good communication with your healthcare provider is so important. It is one key to getting good healthcare. As I mentioned, we're all different, and our differences influence how we communicate. So let me talk about a few general ideas that might be helpful. First of all, good communication involves giving information and getting information. It's a partnership. So you want to have a good relationship with your provider. So, in other words, you need to have someone that you trust, and you can have that give and take in your communications. This is the first step of getting good treatment. You should also have a doctor who can accommodate any special needs you might have, such as vision or hearing. For example, language is a special need. Does your doctor speak the same language as you do? If not, is there someone in the doctor's staff who does? Can that staff person act as your interpreter during visits with your doctor? When choosing a doctor, you might want to ask yourself questions such as, did the doctor give me a chance to ask questions? Do I feel the doctor was really listening to me? Could I understand what the doctor was saying? Was I comfortable asking him or her to repeat something that I didn't understand? These are all first important steps to take in having a good communication with your provider.
Right. And what should you do if you answered no to some of the questions? Should you change doctors?
Well, people sometimes worry about hurting a doctor's feelings if they want to change the doctor. But doctors understand that different people have different needs. So you should not be afraid to change doctors if you feel it's in your best interest to do that.
What else can you do? Like, besides having a doctor that you're comfortable talking to, what else can someone do?
Well, it can be helpful if you prepare for your healthcare visit before you arrive. I think Doug gave some excellent, excellent tools that he uses, keeping a list, having a computer diary, all those kind of things. These are easy things you can do to help with your office visit. We talked earlier about barriers, and I pointed out that some people feel that having time limitations on their doctor's appointment can make them feel rushed or unable to ask questions. So getting ready beforehand is really important.
Let me ask you to say a little bit more about that. So I'm on my way to my healthcare appointment. What are some of the things that I can do to get ready?
Well, first, make a list of the things you want to talk about. If you have more than a few questions or concerns on your list, put them in order of importance. I know that sometimes I've gone to the doctor and I have my list, and sometimes they actually want to review the list first, too. This is important because you don't want to run out of time before you talk about your biggest concerns. So you really want to make sure that you go over those first three or four points that you feel are the most important. And then think about how you describe your symptoms and changes you've noticed since the last visit. Take along a list of all the medicines you're taking. You know, what's real important is not just that list that are prescribed, but talk about and take them the supplements, the vitamins, the herbal remedies, and the over-the-counter medications. And if you don't want to take a list, then bring everything in a brown bag or a purse or pockets or briefcase. Bring it all in so that the doctor can see what you're taking. Like Doug, he brought his wife along. Consider bringing a family member or a friend to your appointment. Tell your companion what you're hoping to accomplish during the visit, and if your companion can remind you what you plan to discuss with your doctor if you forget. They can help remind you what you wanted to accomplish on that visit. This can also be helpful for someone who has a problem with reading or understanding in English. Find an interpreter if you need one. You can ask a family member or friend who speaks English to come with you, or you can call the doctor's office ahead of time to see if one can be provided for you. Sometimes a community or religious organization can help with this. Know as much as you can about medical conditions that are in your family, especially the medical history of your parents and siblings.
Okay, so that's before I get to the healthcare appointment. What about during the healthcare visit? What advice do you have about that?
Well, this is where you're going to be working on that giving information, getting information, ways that both you and your doctor can understand. This is that partnership that we talked about. Your doctor should talk to you about your health care in a way that you understand. But it's also important for you to share information with your doctor in a way that he or she can understand, too. This helps your doctors find solutions, solve problems, and decide which tests or treatments you need.
Interesting point. How does somebody share information with their healthcare provider in a way that's helpful? What are some tips for doing that?
Well, first, you should have that list we talked about. I mentioned it earlier, and I spoke about getting ready for the appointment. Be sure to bring up the concerns or questions on your list. Update your doctor. Let your doctor know what has happened since your last visit. Tell your doctor about changes in your lifestyle, any new symptoms, or changes in your medications you take. You know, Doug talked about his log. I think bringing that log along is excellent because the doctor can do a quick review of that. Be sure to give complete information about how you feel physically and emotionally. I mean, emotionally is a very important piece, too. This way, your doctor is better able to work with you to make the best medical decision and decide what kind of referrals to specialists you may need. Be honest. Even if you haven't been able to follow the medical plan exactly to the letter, your doctor can suggest best treatment only if you say what's really going on. And that's so important. I know I used to go to appointments with my mother when she was having different medical appointments, and she would want to tell the doctor what he wants to hear. And then, like Doug said, I would be there to bring what is really happening. Because, again, the doctor's going to treat based off of what's really happening. So I know a lot of people want to feel like they're the good patient, but it's okay. It's okay to let them know that you have a hard time staying on this routine. And make sure you stick to the point. Each patient is given, a limited amount of time during a health appointment. And keeping to the point will help you make that most useful. For instance, give the doctor a brief description of the symptom, when it started, how often it's happening, and if it's gotten worse or better. Ask your doctor to write down instructions for you. This can be very helpful, and you should not be afraid to ask for this. Some people may worry that the doctor is too busy to do this, but that's the doctor's job. Take notes. Write down what the doctor tells you, and you may want to read them back to the doctor to make sure that you've clarified that that's what the doctor is meaning. And if you don't understand something, tell your doctor. Don't be embarrassed or afraid to speak up. Make sure you understand any medical terms your doctor uses, especially for tests, medicines, and other treatments or therapies. I know I had one person that I worked with that he got his medications, and his medications said take 3 times a day, so he took them all before lunch. Again, he didn't understand that they were important to spread out through the day at different, you know, in the morning, afternoon, and evening. He thought 3 times a day, he just needed to get them in before lunch. So you need to clarify those things. And if you feel you can't read or write well, speak up. Your doctor can help you. For example, your doctor can tailor medication schedules to fit your daily routine, or even color code your medications. Staff members can help you fill out paperwork or insurance forms. Ask how you can contact your doctor if you have further questions or concerns. And don't forget that there are other members of the healthcare team that can help you, the nurse, the pharmacist. Talk to them all. This is your health, and you want to take charge of your health.
That's exactly right. Well, thanks for that. And, you know, let me continue by asking you this. What about medical tests and other procedures that a doctor might order, such as x-rays, mammograms, blood tests? What does someone need to know if a doctor orders a test?
When it comes to having medical tests, make sure you understand why is the test being ordered, what information it will give you and your doctor, how to prepare for the test, if there are any potential side effects or risks of the test, when your results will be available, how to get your results. For example, will the doctor call you or should you call the office? And many offices will be very specific how they want you to do that. So they'll usually give you instructions on all of that, and make sure you go out with those instructions and you've gone over them with them so that they understand, you understand what's expected of you.
Okay, so here's a good question. Your doctor prescribes new medicine. What kind of questions might someone want to ask?
Well, some things you want to know would be what the medicine does, when you should start it, how long it will take for the medicine to work, how often you should take it, what times of the day you should take it, and whether it should be taken before, with, or after meals. Those are real important pieces. If there are times when you should change the dose of this medicine, whether you should avoid any particular foods or alcohol when taking this medicine, what you should do if you forgot a dose, what you should do if you're sick or can't take food or drink or medicine down, and what are the side effects you should be alerted to, what you should do if you experience any of these side effects. You might want to write this information down while you're in the doctor's office, or you might ask your pharmacist these questions when you pick up your medicine. Also, check to see if the information package on the medicine is available from the pharmacist. So all of these kinds of things are important to really understand about your medicine.
Well, it's a lot of information, Donna. It's a lot of helpful information.
It is a lot of information.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you're giving us information, you know, from your experience, and we've also heard from Doug's experience and how he can put some of these tips into action. And many of our listeners tonight have diabetes, kidney disease, or both. Can you tell us how to use some of these tips in relation to diabetes and kidney disease?
Certainly. Kidney disease is an important subject for people with diabetes. Let me begin by briefly explaining what kidney disease is and why people with diabetes are at risk for getting it. You have 2 kidneys, each about the size of a fist. They're in your back, just below the rib cage. Kidneys do a lot of important jobs like filtering blood, keeping your fluids in balance, making hormones that help your body control blood pressure, have healthy bones, and make red blood cells. So over time, having high blood glucose from diabetes that's circulating in your blood can cause damage to very small blood vessels in your kidneys. Once your kidneys are damaged, they cannot filter your blood nor do other jobs as well as they should. And this is called chronic kidney disease. Chronic means that the condition happened over time. This is called CKD, is the abbreviation for chronic kidney disease.
How does somebody know if they have chronic kidney disease? How does somebody with diabetes know?
Well, one is a simple urine test. And this is recommended way to find this is a recommended way to find kidney damage at an early stage in people with diabetes. The urine test checks for small amounts of protein in the urine. And having protein in the urine is an early sign of kidney damage in people with diabetes. In other words, your kidney is not filtering properly. You should also have a blood test to estimate your GFR. Now, what's a GFR? Glomerular filtration rate. That's the estimate of your GFR that gives you and your doctor important information about how well your kidneys are working. So that's what the GFR is. It tells us how well your kidneys are working. If you already have kidney disease, testing is still important because the urine test will show how well your treatment is working, and the GFR test will help show if your kidney disease is staying the same or if it's getting worse. Finally, finding kidney disease early is very important because early treatment can help slow it down. It can also lower your risk for getting complications in your heart and blood vessels. And I'll mention some of these, some of the ways this is done in a few moments.
If people with diabetes have to undergo a lot of lab tests, how can someone with diabetes work together with the healthcare team to achieve the right lab results and prevent complications?
Yes, managing diabetes involves knowing your numbers for many lab tests. People listening tonight are probably quite familiar with things like the A1C test, blood glucose, cholesterol, those are just to name a few. And getting good lab results starts with understanding a little bit about the test numbers that you can really do something about. So your blood glucose level, your blood sugar, and your cholesterol level are good examples of important numbers that you can control when you know what to do. It can be easier to work towards goals if you understand why the test is important and what it tells your doctor about how well your treatments are working or what other measures could help you. Ask your diabetes team to help to explain the lab tests that are ordered for you. Ask why that test would be helpful for planning your treatment. And when you get the results, ask whether you are on target or not. If you are not, you and your doctor can talk about ways to help you reach your target. And one thing I want to say here is you want to ask the doctor to know what your number is. You don't want to say that it's just, you don't want to hear that it's just okay or it's within normal range. You really want to know your number. It's you taking charge again of your health. In the same way that you keep a record of your blood sugar every day, some people find it helpful to write down their lab tests, targets in a little book, and to keep a record of the results over the year, like Doug was talking about. In this way, you can see how well you're doing and where you may need to work with your diabetes team to improve them.
We've heard so much wonderful information from you, and we're almost ready to open up the phone lines now for questions. But before we do that, could you just summarize your key advice for people with diabetes, especially about the connection with kidney disease and ways to make the most of their office visits or clinic visits with their healthcare provider?
Certainly, Gary. Type 2 diabetes is a growing problem in the United States, in part due to modifiable or changeable lifestyle behaviors like lack of exercise, being overweight, and unhealthy diet habits. We know these are things that we can do something about. A healthy lifestyle is important for all of us, and especially for those living with diabetes. If you are not sure how to improve your health, talk to your diabetes team. Each person needs a little different, but generally we want to make sure that your blood glucose, blood pressure, and cholesterol level are all under control. You reduce your risk of heart and blood vessel problems when you do that. You reduce your risk for getting kidney disease or trying to keep existing kidney disease from getting worse. Those are all things we want you to generally be working on. Think of good communication as a two-way exchange involving giving information and getting information. It was that partnership that we talked about that you want to have with your provider. If you don't understand something, tell your doctor. Don't be embarrassed or afraid to speak up. If you ask and you are still not sure, ask again. If you do not know what your goal numbers are for important lab tests, such as your A1C or your cholesterol, ask your health professional. And if you are not at goal, talk about it. write down ways that you can reach and stay at your goal. Discuss with your provider how you can help reach your goal together. It can be very helpful if you prepare for your healthcare visit before you arrive. Ask your doctor to write down instructions for you or take notes. People with diabetes need to be tested at least once each year for chronic kidney disease. Ask your healthcare professional for the two simple tests I talked about earlier, the GFR, which is calculated from results of a simple blood test, and then a urine test to detect the protein. Remember, having protein in your urine is an early sign of kidney damage in people with diabetes. If you are keeping track of your labs at home, add your GFR number to your list of important numbers to know. If you already have kidney disease, you should still have the urine test and the GFR estimate regularly, because it helps give your doctor important information on how well your treatment is on slowing down kidney disease and how well it's working. All of these things are so important because we want to really reduce the incidence, the chance of other complications developing. And the way you do it is by having this great partnership with your provider. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you so much for all of the information. You covered a lot of important information here. And I know that we have a lot of people online that are going to be helped by this. And in an effort to get some of the discussion going here, as it is called Coffee House Conversations, I think we're going to open up the discussion to all of you people on the call tonight. And so feel free to ask us any questions. We're opening up the call to do that now. And what I'd like to do now is just have the operator come back on and tell us how you guys can do that.
Thank you. At this time, if anybody does have any questions, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Again, any questions, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. One moment, please. We do have a question from a Darlene Fletcher. Your line is open.
Hi, Darlene. How's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good, I guess.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I have had kidney disease ever since the 70s, and in 91, I finally went on dialysis. Then in 98, I got a kidney transplant, which is where I am now. I was just recently diagnosed maybe 2 months ago with diabetes. I know all about kidney disease. I know absolutely nothing about diabetes. I was given insulin. I can't take the pill because I was told it wasn't kidney friendly. So I was given needles and insulin and told to stick myself in the stomach and for how many units that I needed to take. And that was basically it. So I live in Arizona. This is my question. I've been all over the Internet trying to find some sort of support group that could educate me. I want to know more about diabetes, how, you know, the conditions that go with it, the emotions that go with it, something. I know nothing other than to stick myself in the stomach once a day.
Donna, can you help us out with Darlene's question today?
Well, absolutely, Darlene. I'm in Arizona. So what I can tell you is that the American Diabetes Association has a website that has all of the diabetes self-management training programs that are listed throughout the whole United States, so not just Arizona, but throughout the whole United States. So you can go on there and find a local diabetes program that you can get help. The other place is to go to the Arizona Department of Health Services. They actually have the Arizona Diabetes Coalition that will list all the different community resources, because there are a number of free classes out there. There are also programs out there that will are covered by health insurance. So you need to I'm so happy you called, because you really have you have resources out there that can help you, because it's about your own self-management, and it sounds like you've really been doing a great job with taking charge of your life, and now you're ready to move on to this part of taking charge.
Well, it is. I thought it was the American Diabetes Association website. I must not have looked at the right place because I couldn't find anything local. But I definitely will go back there and to the Arizona Department of Health because I even asked my nephrologist yesterday, could he suggest a support group? And he said I could suggest one for kidneys, but I don't know anything about diabetes. I said, well, isn't diabetes and hypertension the number one and two cause of kidney failure? He said, yes. He said, but I have no knowledge of what support group you could go to for diabetes. So I really thank you for this information.
And the American Diabetes Association has local support groups. Here in the Tucson and Southern Arizona area, there's about 10 different support groups around town for people with diabetes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, Darlene, and thank you, Donna, for answering that caller's question.
I just want to reiterate to everybody that, you know, to call their local American Diabetes Association because they will have where are the local resources, or call the national office and they'll be able to direct you to the local resources because they do keep a list. And then there are other resources in your communities that will have what's available, or even call local hospitals. Many of the times the local hospitals will have that too.
Okay, do we have another caller on the line there, operator?
Absolutely. And once again, to ask questions, you may press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Your next question will come from Andrew Eichel. Your line is open.
Hi, Andrew. Andrew, are you there?
You may want to check your mute key or pick up the handset if you're using a speakerphone.
Hi, Andrew. Can you hear us? Well, maybe we lost Andrew.
We'll move along then. Your
okay.
Next question will come from Susan Nelson. Your line is open.
Hi, Susan. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, great. How are you?
Fine.
Good. Thanks for joining us tonight. What question do you have for us tonight?
I was stunned at the one from South Carolina.
I'm sorry?
He said he was fine. He was telling about all the millions of problems he had, yet he was doing fine. It doesn't sound like he was working with his health so much.
Hmm.
I just didn't understand that. And I was really surprised that he wasn't interested in having a dietitian, even though he had 39 years of watching his diet. He still needs a dietitian. I don't know. I was just amazed at some of the comments and the way they're handling their sicknesses.
Yeah. Well, you know, Doug was kind enough to share the story with us for sure. And
I got a question, though.
Yeah. What is your question?
I exercise every day before I take my kidney treatments. I take them 3 times a week, and I exercise daily, whether I like it or not. I exercise at 6:30 every morning. I take a walk every morning at 6:30 because I'm hyperactive. And that doesn't help my kidneys. It just helps my attitude about my kidney problems, right?
Donna, you want to take a stab at answering that question?
Well, I am so happy to hear you're doing the regular exercise. And I would just, you know, have you talked with your provider of how your exercise is working with your kidney disease?
I really don't know how that is, working with it.
So it's important that you work with your provider. You know, I certainly can't give you.
It helps my kidney room, but I don't know if it's affecting my kidneys. I mean, my kidneys are still bad, right?
It's probably helping slow the progression. So
I see.
I would let your doctor know how much you exercise and make sure you're seeing and getting those regular tests done.
Yes.
Great.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call tonight.
All right.
Thank you. Operator, who's next?
I show no further questions. We'll give everybody another opportunity to ask questions.
Okay.
Press star one on your touchtone phone.
While we're doing that, why don't I just remind people that they can always go to our website at www.kidney.org/coffeehouse, and there's going to be a lot of resources available for you there. You can also call us here at the National Kidney Foundation. We have a toll-free number, and the number is 800-622-9010. Say it again. It's 800-622-9010. If you missed it, we'll continue to say it throughout the course of the evening here. Also, just so you know, for those people that have registered and are on the phone now, we have a package of resources that are going to be sent out to everybody that's on the call. And included is a list of organizations, websites, phone numbers that you can contact for more information. So I just wanted to pass that along. That's coming free of charge, coming from the National Kidney Foundation. How about now, operator? Anybody on the line?
We have a couple more, yes.
Okay.
Your next question will come from Paula Parker. Your line is open.
Hi, Paula.
Yes, hi.
Hi, thanks for calling in. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks. This has been very, very informative.
My question is,
I don't have diabetes at present, but I did get tests at one point. My blood sugar was high enough that the doctor said I was pre-diabetic. I've since pulled my blood sugar level down, but I do have real struggles with craving desserts and craving sugar. And no matter, you know, I've cut sugar back, but I still want it.
I still struggle
with desserts, you know, and I'm 57 on Thursday, and I just feel like that's just a huge issue is being in the world when there's birthdays and holidays, people are out eating and celebrating and just trying to say no to these things.
I have a similar problem, and I wonder what Donna would have to say about that.
Yeah.
Well, we give out a tip on for holidays for people with diabetes, and you know, some of it is trying to eat before you go, eat healthy before you go, so you're not going to have the appetite when you go. Try to drink more of the water and the low calorie beverages. And this is for those people that don't necessarily have the kidney disease along with it, or the late kidney disease. The other thing is to really circle and see what are the healthier snacks. What I suggest is that not to to really focus on, you know, depriving yourself, but really doing it in small moderation and just maybe taking a little piece of it. You know, you're going to have to get through the holidays, and there usually are a lot of parties. So, again, you want to just do everything in moderation and try to prepare ahead of time of how you will handle it. Many of these cases, they'll ask you to bring a dish or to bring something to drink. So I always take something healthy that I know I can eat. And I struggle with you as well. You know, with my mother and aunts passing away from diabetes, I know that I'm always on that border of, you know, if I allow myself to do more, I could always go into that diabetes. I'm not at pre-diabetes either because I've been practicing regular exercise and eating healthy. So it's just, it's an ongoing, I don't want to say battle, because it's the life we want to live right now, because we do want to prevent those complications from occurring and preventing perhaps the onset of diabetes. So thank you for bringing those up.
Sure, sure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it. And I'll just tell people before we get to the next caller, once again, you can always get more information by going to www.kidney.org. And if you go to kidney.org/coffeehouse, you can actually rehear the first two topics that we've had on the subject. And this one will also be posted over the course of the next couple of weeks. So, operator, who's next online?
Your next question will come from Jenny Swiss. Your line is open.
Thank you.
Hi there. How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you. My question is about tips that either of your speakers can help with. How do you find a good doctor when you move to a new town? If you have many illnesses, what are some steps or some tips you could recommend for getting, you know, involved with new healthcare professionals in a new city?
Great question. That's a great question, Donna.
Yes.
What do you think about that one?
Well, so a couple of those things is. A lot of times your health insurance will, first of all, identify a panel of providers that you can choose from that are covered by the plan. That may be one of the situations you have, so you need to be aware of that. But I talk to friends. I talk to other family members. I talk to other community people that I might be in association with, coworkers. Find out who are they going to, who do they like, or do they know somebody who has perhaps some similar situations, and what doctor do they go to, and do they like that doctor, and do they have a good rapport with that doctor? In some cases, you may need to go and interview a few providers. That's probably less likely in most cases, but it's a possibility that you can do that. You also have a local medical society that you can call and get some information on the provider as well. So I would just check, and also if there's a particular hospital that you want to go to, you may want to call the hospital medical staff office and find out if there are certain physicians on staff that you may want to go to. So if that's a particular hospital that you want to use. So, you know, I like to talk to a lot of different people to find out if they have particular physicians that they have a good rapport with that perhaps handle some of the chronic illnesses or the things that you're talking about, too.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate those
Jenny,
tips.
Thanks for calling in. That was a great question. And thanks again, Donna, for helping out with all of these questions and for sharing the information. Operator, do we have anybody else with questions?
I show no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, let me just give some more information here. Once again, you can go to the NKF website. It's www.kidney.org/coffeehouse, and there's going to be resources available for you there on the website. You can also call us toll-free at 800-622-9010. Okay. Oh, here's a question that was written in to us on the website and has to do with taking tests. Is it okay to ask how much a test will cost, like an X-ray or other procedures? It says here the insurance does not always pay for everything. Well, that's true. We know that's true. I don't know, Donna?
There are so many influencing factors on that question. First of all, it's a great question to ask, and you may want to go first to the health plan to see if the health plan does cover that particular test. In some cases, there has to be proper diagnosis and documentation to support that test. Now, most of the time, the doctors understand what they need to provide for that. So that will certainly be another point to add is there a copay and what's the copay on that particular test as well. So it's a good idea to call the health plan, identify, you know, which plan you have under that health plan, because every different employer group may have a different type of benefits structure, if you will. So, and find out if that test is covered and at how much is it covered. Is it covered at 100% or just 50%? I think that's a great question, because there's nothing more surprising than to find out that you're going to have quite a bit of out-of-pocket expense.
Sure.
And this, then, you'll want to talk over with your physician as to, how much do you need that test and how will you be able to pay for it?
Okay.
And in these times, this is a very important question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a question on everybody's minds. And again, we appreciate you for helping us to answer some of these questions. Do we have any other calls there, operator?
No further questions at this time.
Nothing right now. Okay. Well, you know what? We'll give it another couple of minutes. Let's see if we have anybody else who can think of any questions for Donna. While we're doing that, I'll give you the toll-free number again. It's 800-622-9010. So if you come up with some questions down the road or you don't feel comfortable calling in on phone, you can reach us here and we'll try to help you out. And also, once again, we're going to have a package of resources that's going to be sent out to everybody that's on the call. And so included in the package is going to be a list of organizations and websites and phone numbers and contact information for more, general information about the subject. Let's see. Anybody there, operator?
No questions.
Okay. Well, we've exhausted our questions for tonight, which means that Donna and Doug have such a good job telling the story and answering all the questions that we've solved all of the world's problems in the course of an hour. Isn't that incredible? Well, thank you so much. I appreciate Doug for sharing his story with us. Never easy, but very interesting and very helpful to all of our listeners. And Donna Zaworski, thank you so much again for sharing your knowledge with us and taking all of these questions.
Thank you, Gary.
Okay, I appreciate it. And we ask that you just keep checking back on www.kidney.org/coffeehouse. We also ask that people can just stay on the line for just a few minutes after we end this session. There is a quick survey that we'd like to ask you to answer, and it won't take very long. You could do it right on the phone. I think it's a